New heading, Moral Authority and the Speed of Trust. My friend's experience is a tremendous illustration of the reality that relationships are governed by natural laws. Enduring trust in a relationship cannot be faked, and it is rarely produced by a dramatic one-time effort. It is the fruit of regular actions inspired by the conscience and heart. In the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I introduced a metaphor for trust called the emotional bank account. It is like a financial bank account into which you make deposits and take out withdrawals. Only in this case, you make emotional deposits and withdrawals in your relationships that either build or destroy them. Like any metaphor, if you push it far enough, it has its limitations. But generally, it is a powerful and simple way of communicating the quality of a relationship. I believe that there are 10 key deposits and withdrawals we can make with others that, in my experience, have a profound impact on the level of trust in our relationships. Let me briefly mention these deposits and withdrawals and the sacrifices required, as well as the principles embodied in each deposit. And then we'll go into greater depth on each. First deposit. Seek first to understand. Withdrawal. Seek first to be understood. The sacrifice required. Impatience. Ego. Your agenda. The internalized principles. Mutual understanding. Second deposit. Keeping promises. Withdrawal. Breaking promises. The sacrifice required. Moods, feelings, emotions, time. The principle. Integrity. Execution. Third deposit. Honesty and openness. The withdrawal. Smooth manipulation. The sacrifice. Ego. Arrogance. Control. The principles, vision, values, integrity, execution, and mutual understanding. Fourth deposit, kindnesses and courtesies. The withdrawal, unkindnesses and discourtesies. The sacrifice, self, time, perceptions, stereotypes, prejudices. The principles, vision, values, integrity, execution. The fifth deposit, win-win or no-deal thinking. The withdrawal, win-lose or lose-win thinking. The sacrifice required. Winning means to beat. Competitiveness. The principle, mutual respect and benefit. The sixth deposit, clarifying expectations. The withdrawal, violating expectations. The sacrifice, kiss-up style communication. The principles, mutual respect and benefit, mutual understanding, creative cooperation, and renewal. The seventh deposit, loyalty to the absent. The withdrawal, disloyalty, duplicity. The sacrifice, some social acceptance and heart massage. The internalized principle, values, vision, integrity, execution. The eighth deposit, apologies. The withdrawal, pride, conceit, arrogance. The sacrifice, ego, arrogance, pride, time. The principles, vision and values, integrity, execution. The ninth deposit, receiving feedback and giving I messages. The withdrawal, not receiving feedback and giving you messages that judge another. The sacrifice required, ego, arrogance, pride, and reactive communication. The principle, mutual understanding. The tenth deposit, forgiveness. The withdrawal, holding grudges. The sacrifice required, pride and self-centeredness. The principle, vision, values, integrity, and execution. It is important to recognize that the reason the 10 deposits build trust is that they embody principles central to human relationships. When you study each of these 10 deposits, what would you say are the common elements? I suggest that one common denominator of the deposits is initiative, which is made up of willpower and determination. You'll notice that every one of them lies within your own power to do. Every one of them lies within your own ability to influence. Because they are based on principles, they produce moral authority or trust. You can see how there is no way you can make those deposits, exercise that courage, that initiative, that determination, without the ability to do the 20 emotional, personal push-ups at the personal level that I spoke about earlier. What is the second common characteristic of the deposits? I suggest it's the absence of selfishness and the presence of humility. It's the willingness to subordinate oneself to another person, to a principle, or to a higher cause. It's realizing that life is not just about me and mine. Using the words of the philosopher Martin Buber, it's about I and thou. Feeling profound reverence for the worth and potential of every person. Moral authority, trust, and bonding can evaporate over time in the absence of making continual deposits, particularly with people we work and live around all of the time. This is so because their expectations are so much higher. With people we haven't seen for years, we can often pick up what we left off. The trust and bonding and love are restored immediately because there are simply no expectations of continual depositing. A good definition of moral authority is this: the principled exercise of free choice, which almost always involves some form of sacrifice. A third common characteristic is that, like most worthwhile things in life, they require a sacrifice. Remember, a good definition of sacrifice is giving up something, even something good, for something better. If you are already familiar with the emotional bank account, I encourage you to see it here with new eyes and open yourself to new added insights that will enable you to find your voice and inspire others to find theirs. You'll notice that each deposit represents a choice to use your birth gifts in an effort to sacrifice an ineffective personal habit and replace it with an action that builds moral authority in relationships with others. Before we go into each of these deposits in greater depth, consider this very brilliant, wise statement from Gordon B. Hinckley. No system can long command the loyalties of men and women which does not expect of them certain measures of discipline, and particularly self-discipline. The cost in comfort may be great, the sacrifice may be real, but this very demanding reality is the substance of which comes character and strength and nobility. Permissiveness never produced greatness. Integrity, loyalty, and strength are virtues whose sinews are developed through the struggles that go on within as we practice self-discipline under the demands of a divinely spoken truth. Let's look at these deposits. Seeking first to understand. Why would seek first to understand be the first deposit? One simple reason. You do not know what a deposit is to another person until you understand them from their frame of reference. What may be a high-level deposit to you may be a low-level deposit to another, or even a withdrawal. What may be an important promise to you may be unimportant to another. How you express your honesty, openness, kindness, and courtesy may be perceived completely differently when seen by others through their unique cultural or personal filters. While the underlying principle of each deposit holds true in every situation, it requires an understanding of others within their frame of reference to know how to specifically implement the practice. After learning of the idea of making deposits into the emotional bank account, one woman decided she was going to try it out. This is what she shared with me about her experience. I decided I would do something special for my husband to improve our relationship. I figured that having the kids in clean clothes when he got home and getting the laundry done quicker would really make him happier. After about 2 weeks of being Miss Super Washerwoman with no feedback from him, I mean nothing, I don't even think he had a clue. I started getting a little ticked. This stuff ain't worth nothing, I thought. Then suddenly, one night, when he'd gone thoughtlessly to sleep between clean sheets, I saw the light bulb click on above my head. Oh my gosh, he doesn't give a hoot about Zach's clean face or his clean jeans. That's what makes me happy. He'd rather have me scratch his back or organize a date for Friday night. I could have kicked myself. Here I was killing myself over laundry and making all these deposits that didn't mean a thing to him. I learned a simple truth in a very laborious way. A deposit must mean something to the other person. Close quote. I've had countless experiences of my own with the enabling power of seeking to understand another. I will never forget being invited by a very prestigious high-level executive to give my analysis and recommendations regarding the selection of a new university president. It was one of the most profound communication experiences I've ever had. He left his office to come into the outer office where I was awaiting my appointment. After greeting me, he graciously ushered me into his office and had me sit right next to him in front of his desk, where we could talk eye to eye without any physical structure between us. He basically said, "Stephen, thank you so much for coming in. I'm anxious to understand whatever you want me to understand." I had prepared for this visit for a considerable period of time and had developed an outline of my presentation. I gave him a copy of the outline and covered it slowly, point by point. Except for a few clarifying questions, he never interrupted. He listened so intently and completely that when my 30-minute presentation was over, I felt completely understood. He made absolutely no comment, neither agreeing, disagreeing, or committing. But at the end, he simply stood up, looked me in the eye, and as he shook my hand, expressed how much he appreciated and admired me. That was it. I was profoundly moved by his openness, humility, graciousness, and deep listening, and overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude and loyalty. Because I felt so completely understood and knew that my input had been genuinely listened to and respected, I was fully prepared to support whatever decision was made. Even though I had been with this gentleman many times before, that face-to-face, one-on-one, genuine communication experience conferred upon him such moral authority in my eyes that I never needed another visit or experience with him to renew it or to restore it. It is amazing to me, even at this writing, to feel the impact of such a precious conversation. Now let's look at the deposit of making and keeping promises. Nothing destroys trust faster than making and breaking a promise. Conversely, nothing builds and strengthens trust more than keeping a promise you make. It's easy to make a promise. It usually satisfies another quickly, particularly when they're stressed or anxious about something they need you to fix. When they're happy with the promise, they like you, and we like to be liked. That which we desire most earnestly, we believe most easily. Again, that which we desire most earnestly, we believe most easily. All kinds of people are suckered into deals and agreements because they want something so badly, they'll believe most any explanation, story, or promise of getting it. They turn a blind eye to negative information and go on in their believing. But promise keeping is hard. It usually involves a painful, sacrificial process, especially when the pleasant promise-making mood passes, or when hard realities descend, or when circumstances change. I've trained myself to never, you know, we're supposed to never say never, use the word promise unless I'm totally prepared to pay whatever the price is to keep it, especially with my children. They've often begged me to say promise. Then they feel at peace knowing I would come through, almost as if they had whatever they wanted now. But many times I was sorely tempted to say, I promise, just to quickly satisfy them and keep the peace at the moment. I'll try, or it's my goal, or I hope to, wouldn't satisfy. Only, I promise. Occasionally, when circumstances outside my control changed, I would ask my children to understand and relieve me of the promise. In most cases, they understood and relieved me. But my younger children usually didn't understand. Even though they said they did and freed me of the promise intellectually, they really didn't emotionally. So I kept the promise unless it was very unwise to do so. In such cases, I would have to temporarily live with the diminished trust and try to rebuild it slowly in other ways.